It's time for First Thoughts, best 5 minutes of the day, WWIV. Jason Kansas is awake. What, you been up since when this morning?
It's interesting you ask that. I slept through my alarm this morning, and I never do. I usually wake up before my alarm, so I got up at 5:23 today.
But
so.
What, it's usually set for 5?
I have a. It's a gentle wake up, so it's between 4:45 and 5:15. So yeah. I'm usually up by 4:45 because I wake up right away with it.
Okay, well, it's not like I'm trying to catch you. There's no penalty. I never ask that, but yeah. Lo and behold.
But I apparently slept well last night, so yeah.
Huh? So the inauguration yesterday. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I caught a bunch of it. I think there were several things that stood out. The poem by Amanda Gorman was wonderful. As a poet myself, I loved listening to her recite that. It seemed filled with hope to me.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. She's 22 years old, and
right.
I don't know that she starts. She completed writing it after what happened on January 6th, and so.
Huh.
And then her delivery, yeah, such poise and grace. So,
interestingly, she also has a speech impediment. I watched something else where it was much more pronounced, but so that was great. I think it was. I giggled as I looked at Bernie Sanders. He looked like a grumpy old man sitting at the back with his. His everyday coat on, and I just made me giggle.
He was being memed all over, and people were saying, they were having fun with that on social media.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I think I felt hopeful. I'm really praying that Biden and Harris are truly about unity, as they've talked about, and trying to bring us together. And that's a long and hard road ahead of them, but I was glad to watch it.
Hugh Hewitt, and if people want politics, check it out on our sister station, FM 103.1 AM 680, wogo.com. Hugh Hewitt, great show, 5 to 8, followed by Brian Kilmeade, another great show, 8 to 11. But Hugh was saying, and he was on NBC with David French at the same time yesterday, talking about the fact that his favorite line, and he already played this morning, the idea about it's time to end this uncivil war. And again, between red and blue, Republican, Democrat. And so I think that message hopefully can resonate, and we can try to find some common ground. So,
absolutely. Absolutely. Is there anything that stood out for you?
Well, I think some of the things that you said. I mean, I apologize. I think I called her Amanda Norman. So Amanda Gorman, thank you for that.
Yep.
So
yep.
That was really good. And I'd like to get at least elements of it. I think the poem is about, I thought about using it in place of the Star Spangled Banner this morning, but the banner goes about 2 minutes, or the Texas Tenors did it in a minute and a half. But the other thing was, I had asked you earlier in the week with Martin Luther King Day about Yancey's Sole Survivor. So there's the first chapter about recovering from basically church damage that's been done. But he grew up in a racist church in the South. And then his chapter on Martin Luther King. So you dove in.
Yeah, so you gave me that for my birthday, and actually I hadn't noticed that you wrote a note in the front cover of it.
You never noticed until now?
So I opened it and saw your note, and that was wonderful. Hmm. And then it was, so I read the opening chapter, or the introduction, which was heartrending. It was hard to read some of the stuff he described. And then talked about Martin Luther King Jr. and the influence that he had on his faith. He doesn't present him as a perfect man by any means, but really this call to nonviolent resistance, and it was excellent. And then he goes on and talks about John Perkins as well, which also, Perkins tried to carry the legacy, I think, of King for a long time, and I was just deeply moved by the whole chapter, and I'm looking forward to seeing what else he has to say in this book.
Yeah, he's got a different chapter. Basically, here's the deal. The first chapter, the first paragraph even, where Yancey talks about, often I'll get on a plane, and people, when they find out what I do, Christian writer, they'll tell me about their bad church experience. And he says, I often surprise them when I say, oh, yeah, it's even worse than that. And he talks about growing up in a blatantly racist church in the South. And so I think it's just important for, and then that just kind of sets the tone for the book. But then chapter one of the people who helped his faith survive, Martin Luther King. So when you realize he's a great writer and he writes that, but then also with his background, right? I mean, it makes it that much more powerful. So
absolutely. You know, and I think that's really, really key in understanding that. I actually, as I started reading, I looked up to see when it was written because I thought that this is so relevant to today.
Yeah.
And 2001. So it's, you know, it's
20 years.
A 20-year-old book.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
But really, really good, and I'm looking forward to reading the rest of it.
Well, the challenge for getting a gift for you, if it's a book, is like find one you don't have already. So that's the thing.
Indeed.
So, all right, I'm glad you finally read the note. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
A lot of university students, public, private colleges, have been signing up for classes for the next semester recently, and we were thinking, what if some of our local institutions added classes just for men, just for the guys? They might be called something like this: the toilet paper roll. Does it change itself?
Yes. How about fundamental differences between the laundry hamper and the floor with pictures?
That really helps. Winter classes for men, tongue-in-cheek here. After dinner dishes, can they levitate and fly into the dishwasher?
Be nice if they could. Here's another one. Loss of identity, losing the remote to your significant other.
Oh, winter classes for men, learning how to find things, starting with looking in the right places and not turning the house upside down while screaming for your wife's help.
Oh, boy, that's the thing. It's just kind of a joke. I don't know how it is. Is your wife way better at finding things than you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a given.
Mostly because I'm so impatient that I'll look one or two places and then it's like, someone stole my... No, they didn't.
And it's the number of things. It can be like a spice in the kitchen. It can be something in the fridge. It can be anywhere in the house. Did somebody see my winter boots? I mean... here's another one. A health watch. Bringing her flowers is not harmful to your health.
We probably should all take that one. Winter classes for men. Driving simulations. Is it genetically impossible to sit quietly while she parallel parks?
Yes. And finally, the stove slash oven. What it is and how it's used.
Just for fun this morning, if our institutions of higher learning had classes just for the fellas, what they might be called.
Those would be some good ones. I got a question to throw out this morning, kind of impromptu. I didn't even talk to you about this on the air, but I think you're going to be fine with it. I've learned a thing or two about you in the years we've worked together, both on the air and off. And one of the things I know is you enjoy a good animated movie.
I do.
Yeah. And you know a full range of them. And you've actually worked to work hard so that a lot of our drops include some sounds from some of those. Well, one of my favorites, maybe my favorite animated movie, The Voice of the Beast in Beauty and the Beast from the Disney animated movie from 98. Robbie Benson, he's 65 today. People might remember this romantic ice castles. He was in a basketball movie called One-on-One. But I think one of the coolest things is he was the voice of the Beast. Do you have a favorite animated movie?
A favorite animated movie?
That's
Man,
too hard.
Yeah, that is really difficult for me. But, yeah, I'd love to hear what other people think as I brew on a little bit.
Okay.
Probably something from Pixar, but, man, it's tough.
All right.
It's wow, that's a tough question.
Yeah, so anyhow, the final 90 minutes, probably good enough that we could have done the whole show with it, but it's just occurring to me, hey, the voice of the Beast from Beauty and the Beast, Robbie Benson, 65 today, I'm going to think that's right up there as my favorite animated movie. I never saw the live action, though.
It
Did
was
you?
Pretty good.
Okay.
It was pretty good, but I love the original the most.
Yeah, it really was good. So anyhow, your favorite animated movie between now and 9, let us know, 396-1670. All right, so here's the deal. Robbie Benson, 65 today. Maybe you know him as an actor. He was in some movies, Ice Castles, people would probably remember. But he is the voice of the Beast in the animated 1998 movie, Beauty and the Beast, which I'm calling my favorite animated movie. It was really, really good. And I think it's done pretty well in standing the test of time. I was glad to hear your positive thoughts. I think of you, Caleb, as kind of an animated movie connoisseur. You really know these.
Well, and I don't know. That might be pumping me up too much. But, yeah, I grew up on Lady and the Tramp and The Fox and the Hound. I mean, some of those classics. And, yeah, introducing them to my kids when they come out of the vault, so to speak. Now we have Disney Plus, and great to see some of those ones. Robin Hood was my absolute favorite as a kid. Huh. Absolute favorite animated movie was Robin Hood. Now, I think one that instantly popped into my head when you asked me this question, I was like, is that really my favorite? But the more I think about it, yeah, I think so. Toy Story, 1995, the original.
The original.
My Aunt Melinda gave that to us on VHS. Kids, ask your parents what that was. And, yeah, I can still watch that movie and still really enjoy it. Tom Hanks was fantastic. Of course, Tim Allen.
Yeah.
Love that movie. Now, we found a list here of top 100 animated movies.
I've never seen Toy Story 4, but yeah. Okay.
Which is interesting. That'll come up again in a moment here. So this is, according to Rotten Tomatoes, so just one site, a fairly popular movie reviewing site of their top 100 animated movies. It's interesting how many don't fall into the top 10 that we've mentioned already. Dumbo was another favorite as a kid. That's at number 23 on this. The original 101 Dalmatians, Beauty and the Beast, your favorite from 1991, 31st.
Come on now. Oh,
so here's the thing.
You're getting me riled up.
I already think that there could be some recency bias in this ranking of top 100. But let's just go 10 to 1. And let's see. Again, we'd love you to weigh in at 715-396-1670. We'll create our own top 10 here as far as best animated movies. Number 10, Toy Story 2.
Okay.
Rated at 100% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah, from 1999.
Okay.
Number 9 is Up. That is fantastic.
That's
and the
really
opening sequence of Up, even without words, just the animations and music, is one of the best openings to any movie, real or animated, I've ever seen.
Makes me want to go back and see it. Yeah.
Zootopia is number 8. I liked Zootopia, but I have to say, even as much as I like the music and the Try Anything song in there from Shakira, I have to say I've never seen this all the way through because I've tried it, I believe, at least twice, if not three times, and
fall
I always fall asleep in the middle. Always.
All right.
No shame in the movie. I just, fall asleep. Number 7, Rotten Tomatoes top 100 animated movies. Number 7, Incredibles 2. Fantastic. I would say
Incredibles
the original.
Incredibles 2 higher than Incredibles? Okay.
And I would firmly disagree with that one. I thought first Incredibles was phenomenal. Incredibles 2 is great, but I loved the message of the first Incredibles.
Yeah.
So, number 6. Again, this is a top 100 all the way up to number 6, Paddington 2. Now, it's interesting. We've seen two sequels ranked way higher than the originals. I saw Paddington. Thought it was good. Then, number 5, this is a classic from 1937, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Okay.
Okay, and then number 4, Coco, which I have to admit I haven't seen all the way through. Others speak highly of it, but it caused some consternation with one of my children when we started watching it, and so I just haven't gotten back to it.
All right.
Number 3 is Inside Out. That was a big, big favorite of Lily's when it first came out, too.
Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Inside Out, great. Number 2, now this is interesting, but it is animated, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I don't necessarily think of that in the same way, but animated movie, very good. And then number 1, guess, you haven't seen this one. You just said you haven't seen this one from Rotten Tomatoes, their number 1 animated movie of all time, Toy Story 4.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I thought that was solid, but I would not put it anywhere near number 1.
Huh.
So, do you like that list? Do you disagree with it? What's your favorite animated movie of all time?
Okay. There's no way The Incredibles 2 is ahead of Incredibles.
And that's
why
I firmly believe there's recency bias in this because it's, what have you done for me lately? I don't think those ones deserve to be in the top 10. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm looking down this list. Monsters, Inc. is at 35.
And again, you can get to
the
some
Lion
other ones.
The Lion King at 43.
Yeah. What about some of the ones, you know, Prince of Egypt and some of the
that
other
ones?
That
was a great
like
one.
That,
great songs in there. Aladdin's at 53. So I don't know, Rotten Tomatoes.
What do you know? Well, Caleb, some folks responding to our what's your favorite animated movie question from about an hour ago.
Yes.
Let's catch some of those responses right now.
Hi, my all-time favorite is Robin Hood. And that is one of the best animated movies by Disney that I have ever seen. And this is Jennifer, and I'm calling from Barron. Thanks.
Yeah, Jennifer, that was my absolute favorite as a kid. My brothers and I love that they play on Wisconsin during it as well. But yeah, that was an enduring favorite. So yeah, as a kid, that was where it was at, Robin Hood.
There's another one.
My favorite animated movie is Sing. That's S-I-N-G. Sing. Very good. Family-oriented movie.
So is Phillips, Craig, and Dean in that? That would be my question. Because that's John Fields here on WWI.
It is a good one, John. Like that one, too.
All right. And also a little reaction to a news story we had here on WIB.
Good morning, Mark and Caleb. Mike from Ray Slate calling. Comment on the story about the girl shooting two deer with one shot. In hunting and shooting itself, the first thing you learn is know your target. And beyond, it might sound cool, but very unethical to do that. They didn't see the deer behind the deer that they shot. You have to know your target and beyond, so it's actually not so cool. Hate to be a downer, but that's the truth. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
I do remember learning that in Hunter Safety. Yeah, and one more related back to my favorite animated movies. Julia from Eau Claire says her favorite animated movie, Zootopia, also said, I like Hercules, too.
Mm-hmm.
Solid choices, Julia.
All right. And an idea from a listener who'd like us to do something you've done in the past, kind of a montage of animated clips. And we'll see if we can work on that. So anyhow, thanks for the homework assignment there, Angie. All right, Caleb, this is palindrome week, right?
Yes, palindrome date week started yesterday. So palindrome dates that can be read the same backward and forwards in the system used in the U.S. So that's the kicker there, because, of course, it's different depending on where you go. But yesterday, for instance, 1-20-21, mm-hmm, forward and backward can be read the same. A week later, 1-29-21 is the final palindrome date. So palindrome date week right now in the U.S. The next series of these dates will start December 1st of 2021.
Kind of interesting how that all works.
And yeah, only 2 years where this can happen in a century, those years ending in 11 and 21. So yeah, it's been a decade since we've been able to have fun like this. I love palindromes. I mentioned that on our Wogo Sports broadcast from time to time when there's palindromes on the scoreboard. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of neat.
Nerdy. Like it.
Yeah. And we're a month into winter now, January 21st. Right? Remember, it arrived like December 21st, and was taking the garbage out yesterday, and my neighbor's like, you know, it seems like when it's, you know, summer, spring, whatever, you see your neighbors more. And so this was kind of rare. And she's just like, kind of a mild winter, right? And we're enjoying it. And I got to say, you know, it's going to get a little colder tonight. But even in terms of this snow, you know, you kind of brace for, when I see, all right, basically 3 to 5 inches Saturday night, you dig out Sunday morning, it's not bad.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. In terms of convenience, I always wish for it to fall on weekends so it doesn't affect my commute to and from work.
Sure.
And also particularly some for Lambeau Field. But for our snow day giveaway, yeah, I kind of want some to fall during the week so we can hook you guys up with some amazing prizes.
So far, so good. The winter of 2021.